What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the week one playoff edition of the Pro Football Focus Show here on Roto Grinders. I am Britt Devine, joined by Mr. Ian Harditz, who apparently pre-show PFF Lily had an issue. Is PFF Lily okay, Ian?
She was so excited for the show. She was about ready to start throwing up, but I think, I think she is okay now. So that's life working from the couch.
Yeah, I've got Roto Grinders Benton. He's sitting on the bed over here sleeping. Hopefully he doesn't have any issues during the show either. But welcome, everybody. It's the playoffs this week. So we're just going to do things a little bit differently. I was talking to Ian over the last couple of days. It doesn't make a lot of sense to talk about the slate and to talk about salaries and things like that, because there's so many slates across all the sites and everything like that. So we're going to go a little game by game. Now that I have sports betting at my fingertips, I've got some of my favorite bets. I've got a big L for Ian on one of his. So we're going to argue about one of these games here in a little bit, but we seem to be on the same page on most of these. So Ian, let's have some fun here today. What I do want to do is, you put out an article over on PFF about the most complete 2021 NFL playoff team. I want to ask, did you run this up the ladder? Is this free for everybody, or is this behind the paywall this week?
Always a man of the people right here.
All right. So we made this free for everybody. So if you want to dig a little bit more in depth on what Ian has in this, we're going to go over it here. But you can go check it out on pff.com. What Ian did is basically, well, actually I'll just let him explain it, cause I'll probably mess it up. Ian, explain what's going on here and any big takeaways we can use in sports betting, DFS, basically in anything going on this week.
Yeah, so I've done this for the last two playoffs, and it's not meant to just, you know, exactly rank the top contenders necessarily, but I want to take a bigger look at everything, more than just the quarterbacks, because so much of our analysis ends up coming down to, okay, everyone chill out. We got Tom Brady. We got Tom Brady versus like Jalen Hurts. And it's like, okay, we know that TB12 has the advantage and all that, but there's more to football than just the quarterback versus quarterback. So that was kind of the goal here. So I weighted the quarterback and the passing games the same as run defense, tackling, havoc, pass defense, offensive line, rushing offense, and just the receivers to try to get an idea of who are the most complete teams out there. So coming in at number one, the San Francisco 49ers. And dude, they're not worse than 11th in any of these things. Like you can talk a couple holes, their cornerback room, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't have that many style points, but man, if it works, it works. And you know, we can quantify this. Like, he's 30th among 44 qualified quarterbacks in average target depth. The dude is dinking and dunking it heavy majority of the time. But hey, man, when they're second in yards per attempt behind only Joe Burrow and the Bengals, like, who really cares how you're picking up the yards? So 49ers against the Cowboys, man, I do think this could be a tough situation for them, because the Cowboys 31st in run defense. They've allowed at least 100 rushing yards in 11 of their last 12 games. Not so sure that's going to be great against, you know, Shanahan, Elijah Mitchell and company. So, you know, we'll get to our best bets here in a little bit, but I do think there's some underdog potential there for the 49ers. But yeah, basically, you know, one of the kind of larger AFC, NFC takeaways, only the Patriots, who came in at number two, were actually ranked inside the top six, quote unquote, most complete teams out here. So that NFC really is a gauntlet, man. 49ers, Packers, Buccaneers, Rams, the Cowboys. You know, you have a few holes here and there, Tampa Bay 29th in tackling, the Rams 27th in rushing offense, but otherwise, like, they are just awfully complete teams across the board. Now, on the other side of things, man, Pittsburgh literally could not find something they're better than it. Not even just the worst. Like, I think we all would have expected that. But league wide, I couldn't find something where they're ranked better than even 19th in this year. Because, like, even as great as TJ Watt is in that, you know, front seven, they're still 20th on the season in pressure rate. So, you know, TJ Watt, he's going to need to be a god if they want a chance to take down the Chiefs in this one. So we'll see, you know, kind of how some of these middle ones shake out. The Bengals, pretty mediocre team other than Joe Burrow in the passing game. But hey, that's the number one freaking passing game in the entire NFL when I weighted these categories. So yeah, a lot of stuff going on here, Britt. But I think, you know, the big takeaway for me overall would not be sleeping here on the 49ers or the Patriots, because they just don't have that big glaring weakness that most other teams have at least one of.
I will agree with you on the 49ers this week. I think they are one of my upset favorites, but I am against you on this Patriots game, and we'll talk about that maybe a little bit why as we get into game by game analysis here, which we will do in just a second. But before we do, I want to let all of you guys know about Jock Market. Stop throwing your money away and check out Jock Market. the app where Daily Fantasy becomes a stock exchange. If you want to check it out, you can get a free $50 using promo code Grinders. You can download it in the app or Play Stores. Check out jockmarket.com and use code Grinders for a 100% deposit match. I have tried this out. It's a fun little game. You do it pre-lock. Spend your money on some of the underdogs. Try to find guys that can really have big performances. And you can really boost, you know, $10 into $70 and things like that. The other cool thing they're doing is if you are a first-time player on Jock Market, they give you a first market guarantee that will refund you up to your $100 losses in your first market. So make sure to check them out. A fun little game approved by me as well. All right, so let's switch this up a little bit. We're going to go game by game, maybe give some analysis, maybe talk some weather too. On, you know, as the week progresses, we get a little bit more clarity. I think the one game where we're, are we going to get rain or are we not, is going to be this Philadelphia at Tampa Bay game. That's going to basically come down to, you know, looking at what's happening on the field a couple hours before. But let's start off with the Raiders at Cincinnati. We saw this game earlier in the season, and what's happened recently for the Bengals is not what happened in that game. This was a Joe Mixon game. They were able to basically do whatever they wanted on offense in the run game. Mixon had a massive game. I think it was over 100 plus yards, a really good performance there. How do you see this playing out? Because we've seen the Bengals over the past couple of weeks, Ian, dice up basically anybody they've come across in the passing game, right? It looks like Ja'Marr Chase is the real deal. T. Higgins, also the real deal. You still have to deal with Tyler Boyd out of the slot, who's a very capable. Uzoma's had a good season. Mixon capable out of the backfield. How do you see this game playing out? Because me personally, I think we see a flashback to what happened in the previous game where the Bengals sort of were able to control the ball, run all over them. That's how I'm playing this game. And I got another, a little extra to add on top of whatever analysis you might have at the end.
Yeah, we'll see if they're able to, you know, run the ball over again. But that was like the lesser version of this offense then, when Zach Taylor really still wasn't letting Joe Burrow go out there and throw the ball to these beasts, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd 40 times a game. So that's kind of why, like, for example, just from a season-long perspective, I missed on Tyler Boyd. He ended up not being too bad. He had some nice weeks towards the end of the year. But, you know, the assumption was that this was going to be one of the most pass-heavy offenses in the league again, like they were in 2020. Didn't really see that until the final few weeks, but man, once we did, again, number one passing offense in the entire NFL based on, you know, the collection of passing efficiency stuff I was looking at in that Most Complete Teams article. So the Raiders, maybe Max Crosby goes absolutely bonkers. I mean, he led the NFL with 101 pressures this past season, but otherwise, man, like, it's nothing even against this Raiders secondary. I think they've been okay enough this year and everything, but I don't know if there's a single defense in the league that can stop Burrow and company, or at least contain them that much over the course of 60 minutes. I don't think the Raiders can keep up. That's what it comes down to. Even last week, I mean, it wasn't like Derek Carr was necessarily putting the Raiders on his back in order to win that game. And that's really what it's been for the majority of the second half of the year. Once Henry Ruggs got taken out of the picture, man, okay, we've had Hunter Renfrow picking up a lot of catches. You know, Zay Jones has had 5+ catches in 5 straight games. Like, they moved the ball to an extent, but the big play is just gone. And we've seen that really impact Carr's overall stats. Weeks 1 through 7, 90.2 PFF passing grade. Weeks 8 through 18, 63.7 yards per attempt has dropped a whole yard and a half, and his average target depth is down the same. So it really just has been a more conservative offense that accordingly hasn't been able to put up the same level of points. So the one maybe area where the Raiders could potentially have some success, this if you look at the Bengals, they are actually one of the league's 6 worst defenses in yards after contact allowed per carry. Last week, Josh Jacobs did gain 130 of his 132 rushing yards after contact, so maybe they can get out to a quick lead. Jacobs was able to instill as well, but I don't know, man. It's just so tough to bet against those outside options on the Bengals, again, against pretty much anybody. So I am going to ride with Bengals -5.5 here. Final note before I throw it back over to you, Britt. Good stat from my buddy Austin Gale over at PFF. I mentioned the Carr splits with and without Ruggs, but you can also look at Derek Carr throughout his career in sub 40 degree weather. 50.1 PFF passing grade, 5.8 yards per attempt. When it's over 40 degrees, goes up to 83.8 and 7.1 yards per attempt. So all the factors working against Carr, I don't think they can slow down Burrow and company.
Yeah, we're both on the same page as far as the team here. Bengals -5.5. I think it was down to like -5 or even 4.5 in some places. I looked right before the show. It's back to 5.5. So I think that is the fair line. My prop is I like the mix and rush yard, 74.5. I like the Bengals to really cruise. And here's a little hidden reason, Ian. I'm going to read to you the Raiders travel schedule. Are you ready for this? Over the past couple of weeks, week 14 in Kansas City. All right. Then they're at Cleveland, right? I don't know if they went back to Las Vegas, you know, but right. So you go from the Chiefs to the Browns in week 15. Then you're in Cleveland, you're home against the Broncos, right? So you're back out on the West Coast. Then you go to Indianapolis, right? Then you play the late game against the Chargers last week. And now you play the early game this week on the road. This is a ton of travel at the end of the season, right? With an extra one in here. I'm definitely on the Bengals to win this game. I'm fine taking some alternate lines if you want to boost this up to over a touchdown or anything like that. My personal opinion, I think the Bengals walk away with this game. That's also why I like that prop of Mixon, because I just expect it to be a grind time in that fourth quarter for them. So that's a little nugget for me on my personal opinion on this game.
It does look like Darren Waller's going to play. And just real quickly, if you are playing the entire, you know, Saturday to Monday slate, I think it's as good a time as ever to go with that two tight end shell, because, you know, we have our Wallers, our Kittles, all the freaking great tight ends that are still alive, great Travis Kelce as well. And then to have Zach Ertz, the Cardinals' number one receiver lately, sitting there at 4,700. Don't be afraid to go double tight end. I think Waller certainly is in play there.
All right, let's go to the Patriots at Buffalo. And this seems to be I can get behind pretty much all of your picks, except I don't like New England in this game at all. I think the Bills with Josh Allen, with a great, if the Bills get up in this game, I think it's lights out for the Patriots for sure. And I know if the Patriots were to get up, the Bills certainly have enough firepower to come back in this game. And I just think the Bills are going to play. They're not just this pass only offense anymore, right? They have the ability to run the ball, and in the cold weather, right, this game is going to be really cold, and Josh Allen hasn't really been doing too well. I think this is a Josh Allen just takes over this game between short passes and running the ball, because the Bills know when the money's on the line, let's put the game in the hands of Josh Allen, whether it's on the ground or through the air. My favorite prop bet in this game is definitely Josh Allen over 44.5 rush yards. What's he have? He has like almost 69 rushing yards over his past five. And he just trounced the Patriots for 64 yards in this last outing. I think 44.5 is just a little bit too low. I'm on the Bills here. I don't really trust the Patriots. I know they ranked really high in your article here when you combine everything, but I just don't see if the Bills get up 10 or 13, 10 points, right? Like, this game is over in my book. And I just don't see any way the Patriots can really win this game, in my opinion. I live in New York. I'm not a Bills homer or anything like that. I just really like the Bills in this one. So I'm interested to hear why you like the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't take be pounding the Patriots money line even necessarily, but I do think 4 points is probably one too high for here. I mean, look, we've seen Damian Harris really in both these games take over, and it's what has been, you know, the way to beat the Bills: pound the freaking football down their throat. And I know it's not super windy, and we probably don't have to worry. It's not going to be the same settings as before, but this is also going to be a freaking ridiculously cold game in Buffalo once again. And you know, we did see what happened when this game resorted down to who can run the ball best in that first matchup. So Mac Jones, no, I do think he's overrated. Like, yeah, he's the best rookie quarterback, but that's relative to a bunch of rookie quarterbacks that are very hard to even rank inside the league's top 30 passers as a whole. So I hear you there, but you know, to the point about Josh Allen, he has been really erratic all year. I mean, just if you look at this Buffalo passing game as a whole, they really rank in the middle of the league in the majority of statistics. Now Josh puts up bonkers numbers. You mentioned the rushing totals and averages he has. Like, he was reigning fantasy QB1 because Josh Allen has always been a fantasy god, but he really hasn't been the same world beater in all of 2021 that we saw in 2020. I thought the second game against the Patriots was maybe Josh's best game the entire season. Like, the throws he made on that last drive were absolutely spectacular. But again, man, just to really go in against Belichick and pull off that performance again in a game that I think is again going to be awfully run heavy by both sides, I'm just probably going to side take the evil empire and just expect them to cover those 4 points. But just from a more DFS perspective, I do think if you are going to try to invest in this Patriots passing game at all, Jacoby Myers is your guy. We did see him get the most targets last time around in this matchup. In the Bills, you'll be hard pressed to find a passing metric that they're not number one in the league in, but they have been slightly less dominant against receivers in the slot as opposed to out wide. Also, Nelson Agholor is probably the cheapest dart you could throw on the entire slate. I think he's around 3,200 on DraftKings. You know, he's in three wide receiver sets. He's a starting receiver, so you can do a little bit worse than that if you feel like going, you know, to the bottom of the barrel. Now, on the Bills side of things, man, I guess it's just like, do we really want to trust Devin Singletary when there are so many other good backs in that price range? So
I think Singletary is one of the better plays, especially with playoff Lenny, right? Is he going to play? I think he's going to play, right?
Well, they said he's like the most questionable of the game time decisions.
I expect him to play. I had one of his props on here. I pulled it off for the show. But we can talk about that when we get to that game. But I think Singletary, straight up, his role is very clearly defined. And it's cold. It's not, this isn't the win game when the Patriots ran the ball all over him. It's cold. But this game to me seems more, I know Josh Allen hasn't really been that great in the cold. This game just looks a lot more like the game that was played at Gillette Stadium, where the Bills won 33-21. I sort of, maybe not the as high a scoring, but I don't know. I just think the Bills are a much better team overall. And Josh Allen in the playoffs, that dual threat ability is
these are the two. I mean, just to be fair, like, you're not, look, the Bills arguably are the best team in the AFC. They had the number one point differential in the entire AFC. Number two, though, New England Patriots.
They played the Jaguars in that one game, though. And the Bills lost. Didn't the Bills lose to the Jags?
Yeah.
There's a lot of
Guys too.
There's a lot of nonsense in there, if you ask me. All right. So we'll see, Ian. This is our one big disagreement this week. We'll see if you can get one on me to close out the season here when we go head to head on these. All right. Let's go Philadelphia at Tampa Bay. You've got Philly 8.5. And I was on, if the weather was clear, I think I like Tampa Bay in this game. But I don't have a bet on this game in terms of like a side. I like some of the props, but I can definitely get behind the Eagles at +8.5 because Kevin Ross, latest weather report, you can read that on Roto Grinders here. He has it as yellow. So I don't know if you're, yellow, orange, red, that's more baseball terminology. Red, you want to stay away from, but he says it could get upgraded to orange. Right now, he has the rain arriving before the game on Sunday and clearing pregame. But the timing, if the timing slows, he's going to upgrade the risk to orange. There's going to have winds will be worse pregame with the rain, but it's going to be breezy, sustained 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts over 30 miles an hour.
Gus, we got
gusts for the 30 miles Gus an hour. Sword. I'm not that concerned because the Bucs aren't going to chuck this ball deep against the Eagles. That's not what you do anyway. I'm just concerned if it's raining pregame and the ball's slick, this game becomes much more available to the Eagles, in my opinion, than if this game was played in clear weather. Exactly. How do you see this game playing out? I think Brady, my favorite prop, I like Lenny receiving yards. I think it was 32.5. If he plays, make sure to catch that like pregame if you can still get that. But mine is Gronk over 57.5 because Evans, you know, the deep ball, all that stuff that he does, he'll get his touchdown. But I just don't know if he's going to gather all those yards. And I think some of those are going to be fed to Gronk on the inside on some of these intermediate passes, especially if the weather and wind play out. So that's my prop. Tell me why you like the Eagles here, +8.5.
Well, I think first of all, you know, just looking at what we saw in the first matchup, it's not the same first matchup because 2 weeks after the Buccaneers beat the Eagles, that was when we saw them just really change around their entire offense to become this run first unit. And around that time, like, that would have been fun to see because that was the best version of this Tampa Bay run defense. They gave up -1 rushing yards to the New England Patriots. Like, we didn't want to roster a single running back against them for the first 6-7 weeks of the year. But I mean, when you look at the second half of the season, man, like, it really wasn't the same juggernaut. And a big reason why was losing Lavonte David, but he's right there next to Leonard Fournette as per Bruce Arians, the most questionable of the game time decisions. So even if McDavid is back, it certainly doesn't sound like he's necessarily going to be at 100%. The Jets ran for 150 yards on this group. The Bills, 173. The Falcons, 121. And that's all, you know, since December started. So the Buccaneers really haven't been the same sort of juggernaut on the run defense side of things. They've allowed the highest explosive run play on the run play rate on the season. Healthy Jalen Hurts, healthy Miles Sanders. Like, there is a path to, I don't know about victory, because Hurts versus Brady, we're taking a pretty large leap there, but at least a covering 8.5, man. So I just think that, again, this Eagles team, same thing we said about the Colts, same thing we're saying about the Titans. Like, there is this certain type of just smash mouth football team that, no, wouldn't pick the Eagles to go win 4 straight and, you know, hoist the Lombardi trophy here in a month. But at the same time, one any given Sunday, they could be a tough out for anyone. So I agree with what you were saying on defense. They have done a good job limiting the big plays all year. And at this point, man, like, look, we saw Tom Brady in 2019 versus 2020. Realize he wasn't washed, but that's what Tom Brady can look like when he doesn't have weapons. And you take away AB, Goblin, Cyril freaking Grayson is now out. So it's like Evans and Gronk better be carrying everything, because if not, man, I think it's going to be Brady throwing to cover Tyler Johnson's and Breshad Perryman's for most of the afternoon. So with the weather going against them, again, I think with the matchup reasonable, give me Philly plus 8.5, man.
Yeah, that Gronk prop was probably one of my favorites of the week at that 57.5, yeah. Especially if something were to happen to Lenny, right? They're not going to be trusting Keyshawn Vaughn. Maybe Le'Veon Bell gets some of those Lenny dump-offs, but they're going to put this game in Brady's hands and not rely too much on the run game, at least through the ground, more so through the air, in my opinion, this week. All right, let's jump to, first off, I want to know, Isaiah Wynn, your starting left tackle for your Patriots, on that bet, Ian, he got ruled out. So they are down.
All right, change it.
No, they're down their starting left. That is a big loss for them, honestly.
It's not great.
Yeah. So let's see on that one. Strengthening my Bills pick against you. We'll see on that one. All right, let's go to San Francisco at Dallas. We're both in agreement. This would be, if I had to pick like an upset, I think this is the game, because you know, at the 49ers, we went over at the beginning of your article, right? They're the most complete playoff team, and they can just do the thing that Dallas can't stop, and that's the run. And you know, that's what San Francisco's game plan is going to be this week. So my prop is, I like Mitchell over 79.5, because I'm sort of with you. I like the 49ers to maybe even win this game outright. They're going to have to use Dak. Zeke is washed. Take the under on him. It was up to like 50 something earlier in the week. It's down to 48.5. I think you can still do that. We saw the Rams last week, basically unable to run the ball. They had to go through the air against San Francisco. I'm expecting sort of that same thing too. So again, you can maybe factor in some of the Dak overs on props, but I like the 49ers here. Their defense is good. Dak's going to have to play an A-plus game. Garoppolo's probably going to have to throw a pick or something, in my opinion, for Dallas to really live up to expectations in this one.
That's, look, I'm with you. Like, Mitchell on the ground against this Cowboys run D, that's the path to victory. But don't be sleeping on the passing game either. I mean, the struggles that we kind of saw Jimmy G have in the first 7-8 weeks largely haven't been there. It's just, you know, even someone like Jimmy G is not going to be aggressive. And, you know, when the pressure is able to get to him, he's going to break down. When you have Kittle, Debo, and Ayuk out there, man, it's just going to be tough for any defense to slow those guys down. I did another article this week looking at the best remaining playmakers in the playoffs, and I basically would just do. I gave added points to touchdowns, to big plays, and then also a forced missed tackles divided out by touches. And out of 153 players with at least 50 touches, Ayuk was fifth, Debo was eighth, and George Kittle was 21st. So this 49ers offense as a whole, I think, is just going to be able to instill their will. And I honestly kind of like the over in this game as well, in addition to going with the 49ers, because the Cowboys on the other side of things, we know they're going to be able to put up plenty of points as well. I mean, this offensive line, first in run blocking grade, second in pass blocking grade per PFF. Last year's Browns was the only team in our database to ever finish first in both those categories. So this is truly a great offensive line that should have a healthy version of Tyron Smith. To the 49ers' credit, they're also getting a healthy Trent Williams, who was PFF's offensive player of the year. How about that, supporting the big uglies up front? So yeah, Mitchell, man, like, he'd be the one I think I'd feel better about, like, locking in that mid 5K range, yeah, over Devin Singletary. You know, why not both? We don't have to decide between them necessarily, but I do think Mitchell just getting those 20 touches. Like, we've seen games, man, him coming back from injury and Shanahan saying pregame, like, you know, we'll see how he holds up, and he's still getting fed over 20 touches, no problems. Now it's last game of the year, you know, can't hold anything back now, Brett, type of of format, and I think we'll see him do just fine. So the one area where I think we could see the Cowboys get up and win this game is if they can establish that early lead and let these pass rushers feast, because as great as that Kittle, Ayuk, Debo trio might be up for the 49ers offense, Cowboys got one themselves in that front seven. Just looking at every single pass rusher this year with at least 50 snaps getting after the pass rusher, Parsons, number one, Randy Gregory, number 18, DeMarcus Lawrence, number 25. So I think that's the path to success, man. They got to try to force these guys to throw the ball and then get after Jimmy G, because we have seen with Garoppolo, if you can just remove his, you know, first read there, if you can actually force him to move in the pocket, far less dangerous.
The only player I've bet to score a touchdown this week is Debo Samuel, because I guess anytime, you have to assume some rational coaching that, you know, it's the playoffs now. Maybe some of these Juwan Jennings, right? You know, all these fringe third and fourth, you know, tier players, their touches need to disappear. And if there's anyone, right, who, like, I still think Debo is by far the biggest playmaker on the 49ers offense, even over George Kittle. He's so dangerous. Anytime he touches the ball, I'm expecting him to get his, what, 5 to 7 rush attempts. Man. I'm expecting him to give him plenty of opportunities to make yards after the catch. That's what he does. He's by far the best player with an absolutely insane skill set in doing that. So I do like Debo to have a nice game. It is, the problem is he is priced pretty high. And then when you're comparing him to Cooper Kupp at the wide receiver position, it is a little bit tough to get to him in DFS, but I do like him to have the touchdown. I like Mitchell. I like the Dallas passing game, because I'm with you, Ian. I think San Francisco could possibly pull the upset in this one.
Hey, quick note, because I know there's a lot of good cheaper wide receivers throughout the slate, but keep an eye on if Mohamed Sanu ends up being activated and is active for Sunday, because Juwan Jennings has been their starting slot because of Sanu being out. Shanahan had the quote this week where he said like 90% of the time Jennings is playing blacked out. So it could be a situation where, Britt, I'm kind of with you to begin with. I'm not sure that Jennings is going to be featured the same way, you know, in the playoffs. I could see Debo just having an even larger target share than normal, but particularly
Mohamed Sanu, let's feature him in the playoffs.
No, it doesn't make sense, but like, he'll take Jennings snaps, you know. It's just one of those things. I don't necessarily, it's like Emmanuel Sanders coming back for Gabriel Davis. Like, yeah, I think we would all prefer Gabriel Davis keeps those reps, but probably not going to happen. So if you do want to go really cheap, I think Antoine Wesley, Brian Edwards, you know, these are guys that are out there and starting three wide receiver sets, always capable of, you know, coming down with a tutty, one of their five targets. And then also Tyreek should be playing, but in his absence last week, or at least banged up, we did see Mecole lead the way over Pringle and Robinson. It's just some things to keep in mind if you're dumpster diving at wide receiver.
All right, let's go to Pittsburgh at Kansas City. This one I don't have a prop or a bet on. I know you got Kansas City minus 12.5, which I guess is probably the right way to go considering what happened in the first game. My prop, I was gonna, if Clyde was going to play, I was definitely going to be in on his rushing props. I got to see. I didn't have a Darren Williams line because Darrell Williams line. It looks like he's going to be the starter. And then Gore's always a little sneaky. I think they always put, especially in this game, his prop is going to probably be at like 24, 25 or something like that when it comes out, maybe even a little less. I got to see what that is. But I like the Chiefs running back props, Ian, because I guess it makes sense, right? If you like the Chiefs minus 12.5, they're going to be running that damn ball in that fourth quarter because, you know, you showed on at your article just the huge discrepancy. I mean, the Chiefs are near the bottom of that too, but they have Patrick Mahomes, which sort of separates everything else. And they have Tyreek Hill and they have Travis Kelce. And I know the Steelers have a couple good players, but I think it's just too much to overcome. Pittsburgh sort of backed into the playoffs and Kansas City. I think they deserve this hefty line. It's tough in playoff football to lay such a big line, but that's probably the side I'd be on. Didn't actually bet this one personally, though.
Yeah, I don't blame people. It is a high line, but at the same time, like, I can't come up with a rational, like, argument based on any sort of data for like how Pittsburgh wins this game. They could maybe cover and keep things close, but like the only thing I can come up with, Britt, is like, hey, the NFL is pretty crazy. We just saw the Jaguars beat the Colts. Like, weirder things.
If Mahomes does those weird things where he throws these bad interceptions, or he just like, even that, like if he does one of those, I don't even think it's a problem. He's going to have to do multiple things like that.
Right, because I don't see Pittsburgh scoring, man. Like, that's the other thing with these Chiefs this year. Like, their defense looked atrocious the first 6 weeks of the year. They came back, though, and finished as the eighth best scoring defense. Like, we really were only seeing Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert have any sort of sustained success against these guys for the better part of the past 2 months. So I do think you're right about, you know, taking the overs with the running backs, particularly with Clyde Edwards-Helaire now out. We have seen Daryl Williams really dominate the backfield usage in CEH's absence throughout the entire year. And Pittsburgh, man, like, look, the strength, and I use my, you know, finger quotes going on, because again, they're still below average in their front seven's ability to pressure the quarterback, but that is the strength of this defense. Because the weakness, my god, this run D, like we were talking about the Cowboys not being able to stop anything, Pittsburgh dead last in yards before contact allowed per carry. And on the other side of things, Kansas City has been one of the top five offenses all year and just setting their running backs up for success. So yeah, Daryl, Clyde, they're not breaking tackles at the highest rate in the league or anything. But hey, man, we saw that first time they played, Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the goal line running over anybody and everybody in Pittsburgh on his way to the end zone. So I know it's going to be Daryl out there, but again, like, I just don't know out of anything we've seen how you can get behind Pittsburgh. Ben's trying to play his, like, nobody believes in us, we're just gonna go out there and have fun card, but it's like, come on, man. We haven't seen this passing game or run game look explosive all year. Now you might take away Najee Harris from the equation. So, you know, credit to Deontay and Claypool. I think they're both, you know, going to do great things next year with a better quarterback, but I just cannot get behind Pittsburgh by any stretch here. I would say the wild card, don't be afraid to go dumpster diving to Ray McCloud if Juju is going to end up not being activated. This could be a game where Ben's throwing the ball 50 times and, you know, nine catches for 30 yards will still get you double digit fantasy points out of someone like Ray. And also Pat Freiermuth is another one of those tight ends that you can always keep an eye on. So if Najee is out, we would expect it to be Benny Snell. He was working well ahead of Kalen Ballage last week in that one, but again, I just don't know how Pittsburgh is going to put up all that many points, man. Does seem like a situation where Mahomes and company should keep rolling.
The Steelers did not activate Juju today. I will say that it has not come out. So I do think they have up until game or tomorrow, I believe, to do so or something like that.
I think tomorrow by like 5:30 or something.
Yeah, it did not happen today. So just keep that out. I was looking for that. And literally it just happened, did not happen on their activates list. All right, I guess that just leaves one game left. That's Arizona at the Rams. We're on the same page in this one. We both like the Cardinals plus +4. And I guess I'm going to give my reasoning as one is, Matt, I think there's something wrong with Stafford. He's turning the ball over way too much for what an elite quarterback does. So I don't know if he's hurt or there's just something happening with him. But I believe Stafford to throw a pick seems like a pretty easy bet based on what's happened recently. And I know interceptions are always a very hard thing to bet. But I like Arizona here. One, I think Stafford, as good as he has been throwing to Cooper Kupp, he is a little bit mistake prone as it is right now. And the other thing is, I just think sort of like with Josh Allen and his rushing yards, my favorite prop is Kyler Murray over 37.5 rushing yards.
Oh, I thought it'd be higher. Wow.
Yeah. These coaches, they're going to unleash their superstar players in the playoffs, right? There's nothing left to do. Who cares if Kyler Murray gets hurt in this game, right? Because he's obviously trying to win. You unleash your star quarterbacks. And one of the ways to do that is going to be with Kyler Murray. He just had 61 yards against him. I know to close out the season in 2020, wasn't so hot. But over 37.5 rushing yards for Kyler Murray, put him in to score a touchdown, because without DeAndre Hopkins, they're going to need to maybe get a little creative in the run game, especially if they're down one or maybe two running backs. We got to see what happens with that one. I think at least one of their running backs does end up suiting up and playing at least reasonably well. But I like Arizona in this one. So do you. I think this game, what do they say? They give you 3 points for home field advantage. And I think it's just teams get better and better. I don't know. Is home field advantage really worth 3 points anymore in the NFL? I don't know. I just think it should be maybe three. So once you're getting above that three, that key number three, I'm on Arizona plus +4. And that prop, I just like Kyler Murray to do Kyler Murray things. I wish DeAndre Hopkins was healthy. Because I think he's worth, 2 points on a line or something like that, especially converting field goals into touchdowns and things like that. But I don't know. I just think this is too big of a line for the Rams to cover.
Yeah, to the home field advantage point, PFF's own resident mathematician expert, Eric Eager, has said that this year it's basically been null and not even made a difference, in the ending spread. So, yeah, I just think with the Cardinals, man, it's been a different version of Stafford. And it's kind of crazy, like, first of all, I think Stafford's getting a little bit too much shit because they're trying to compare him like to 2018 Jared Goff, who was really good. Like, you know, I'm old enough to remember, Britt, when Jared Goff was actually a good quarterback. Now, yeah, it was only for 2 years, but if you can sign up and have the 2018 version of Jared Goff play for your team every single year, I think a lot of teams would be happy to have that. I mean, the dude threw 41 touchdowns. With that said, he has not had his fastball recently. I mean, if you look at this year, games with at least three completions of 20 plus air yards, weeks 1 through 7, he had four separate games with at least three of those. Weeks 8 through 18, though, we've only seen that happen twice. I mean, turnover worthy plays weeks 1 through 7 on deep balls, 1. Weeks 8 through 18, 9. So yeah, like, it just hasn't really been the same offense going deep downfield. And yeah, I mean, losing Robert Woods might have something to do with that, but we've seen, like, last week that game ending pick, wasn't anything wrong about Beckham getting open deep. The ball just couldn't get out there. So Van Jefferson, OBJ, if they're not able to help unlock the best version of this Rams offense, I think it could be problematic again. Going back to the most complete teams, this Rams run offense has really been terrible throughout the entire year. I mean, what, Sony and Akers last week combined for like 50 yards on 25 rush attempts or some nonsense like that. We've liked them in fantasy, Henderson and Sony, because they've had such featured workloads and volume. It's a good thing they have, because they weren't able to be that efficient with more limited roles. So yeah, I just think that, you know, the Rams with the struggles moving the ball on offense, Kyler gives you the quarterback advantage. I mean, number one in big time throw rate this year, number four in turnover worthy play rate. So he's been making simultaneously high level throws while limiting his turnovers throughout the year. And I think they could be built. This iteration of the Cardinals, I think, could take advantage of the Rams defense, because yeah, losing Hopkins objectively sucks. We would rather have him out there. But if we look at the targets since losing Hopkins, Ertz leads the way with 42, then Christian Kirk at 32, AJ Green 25, Antoine Wesley 19, then the running backs below that. The Rams, I mean, they've allowed the 10th fewest yards per attempt on throws to targets aligned on the outside of the formation, but they're 24th against the slot and 22nd in line. So Jalen Ramsey's a stud, but he can't cover everyone out there, not expecting him to travel with a single receiver either. So I do think Ertz, Kirk, Kyler are going to give you the highest upside on this offense. We'll see what's going on with James Conner. He wasn't practicing on Friday. Cliff Kingsbury, as he does with every player, calls him a game time decision, but Chase Edmonds did say that he is going to be out there and playing through it regardless. So Chase Edmonds, I think, could be a potential swing player in this, because, you know, if they are going to try to attack this defense where they're more vulnerable, which I think is through the air, don't try to run the ball against Aaron Donald and company up the middle. Chase Edmonds is someone that could carry, lower ownership going into the Monday game if people are just trying to do the safe thing and not have to worry about that James Conner injury.
Yeah, I just want to note a couple of newsworthy items that maybe popped during the show. Najee Harris is questionable. He did log a full practice today. He's considered a game time decision. You get a full practice in on Friday in the playoffs. Dude's playing in a playoff game, so I expect a full workload for Najee Harris. Darrell Williams is expected to play. We mentioned that a little bit. Tyreek Hill expected to play. He practiced on Friday. Andy Reid told reporters the plan was for Hill to play unless something happens. Over under giant jumping catches over Mecole Hardman in the end zone pregame of 0.5 for Tyreek Hill. I'm going to take the under on that this week, Ian.
Dude, I was just hanging out, watching the game with some friends last week. We didn't have the sound on, and we had music on. They kept showing that catch, and I was like, what's going on? Like, yeah, it was a cool catch, but why do I keep seeing it? And I was like, oh, that's why Tyreek isn't even playing out here. Oh, man.
Yeah, if it happened on that play, but it seems likely. I don't know. When you're like a freak athlete, are you allowed to do these things in pregame warmups, right? Because that's something that could happen in the game, right?
Why? Sure looks fun, Britt. I wouldn't know, but if I could do that,
I could get like about 3 inches off the ground. All right. I guess that's going to do it for the final 2021/22
version. Don't be tearing up on me, Britt.
Yeah. So, dude, it's been fun. I hope you're back next year.
Of course.
In some form here. I love doing the show with you.
Likewise,
and,
brother.
I'm glad PFF Lily made it through the show. I'm glad RG Benton didn't wake up from his little nap time. And dude, let's have a fun week. I'll still be I really like sports betting and all that, having it at my fingertips. It's I still play DFS.
Not having to drive 3 hours or whatever it was.
It was even 10 minutes. It was 10 minutes, but even I hate that. It's just easier. It's just so much easier on your phone. I'm getting a lot more into that. Hopefully, some of the props and plays come through from you guys if you happen to use them. Other than that, Ian, it's been a fun season. We'll try to run it back in next year for football. But that does it for the PFF Fantasy Show for the 2021 NFL football season. For Britt, for Ian, I'm Britt. Thanks for watching, everybody, and we out you.